You are listening to the Real Faith Stories Podcast, interviews with people who chose to boldly follow their faith. I'm your host, Brian Robinson. Now, let's meet our guest and hear their story. Jeremy, welcome to Real Faith Stories. So good to have you on the program.
Brian, it is an honor to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm really curious about your story and how you got into business and had this passion to share truth and love in the marketing industry. Kind of got short-circuited, but now you're back in that space and God is really doing some amazing things. So please share some of your backstory, how you got into that, and then what's happening today.
Yeah, I praise God for the conviction that God has shown me in my life over and over again, even when I've chosen to put it on the back burner. I was running a marketing agency for several years that was very profit-centered. I drifted from my original mission to bring truth and love to the marketing industry. And as I was making money, began to fall in love with that money and making decisions that would make me the next dollar. It was greedy and it was idolizing money. And I knew that intellectually that money wouldn't satisfy my soul, but I was living my life in a way that contradicted the intellectual belief. And I remember just finally surrendering to God. And it was a process. Honestly, it was several months of like, what am I supposed to do with this? I was successful financially. I'd hit the metrics that I wanted to hit. And still, of course, was feeling purposeless in my work because I was just centered around making the next dollar. And God just kept bringing me back to this false belief that the purpose of business is not to make money. Money is the tool. The purpose of business is to glorify God and to love people. And what would it look like for me to bring my business in alignment with that purpose? And that's what Purpose Beyond Profit was founded on. It was founded on that owning of that false belief of running a business that is more than just glorifying God with a profit, but glorifying God in the way that we're making profit, in the way that we're marketing ourselves. And I think the best thing that we can do as entrepreneurs, as business owners, or just anyone in the marketplace is understanding that truth and love is the best thing that we can offer to people. And manipulative marketing tactics, sleazy marketing tactics, just trying to convince people of what we want them to believe because it's beneficial for us, leaves us unsatisfied in our work. And we're pointing people to Christ. That's when we feel fulfilled.
You said that the Lord convicted you that business was not about profit. It was to glorify God and love people. And then basically profit is a result of doing the first things first.
Yeah. And I think there's even more profound results, just the joy and the peace that I have in my work now, along with the profit. I left that business that was making me $15,000 a month, started over from zero. I was willing to give away, leave that money on the table to start over from zero, but now with a sense of peace, knowing that I was walking in alignment with what God was calling me to do. That's the ultimate result. That's what I'm chasing. I think that's what every human is chasing, is that kind of profound fulfillment, joy, and peace in their work. And money is a result of that. But I think so many times I looked to money to be a milestone. Like if I hit six figures, then I would be successful. But I think we have to define success by different metrics, or at least include other metrics besides profit. And I think joy, peace, satisfaction, and fulfillment that come from walking in alignment with what God is calling us to do is the best metrics that we should really be honing in on and looking at when we're thinking about how successful our business is, rather than just what I was doing, just looking at the bottom line.
Let's go back to when you were younger. Tell us a little bit about your history. Where did you grow up, your family dynamics, and then how you got involved in this initially?
Sure. So I grew up in a large family, six kids, and my dad was an entrepreneur. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling us six kids. And I remember my dad just doing a lot of different things. He was an entrepreneur himself, doing whatever it took to put food on the table for his family and to provide. But he was running his businesses differently than how the world was running his businesses. So I grew up in that Christian entrepreneur household. So I learned a lot from my dad I went to college, got my business management degree as a backup plan for if this entrepreneurship thing didn't work out for me. And so I had some little experiences just in my childhood of running some marketing campaigns for my dad, doing some marketing internships with the local health store and marketing agency that I just had built relationships with, and had the experience from my degree, but sitting 4 years in a college reading textbooks didn't do a whole lot for me. It wasn't until I really, in 2018, launched my first business and fell flat on my face that I really started to actually learn what it took to be an entrepreneur and what it looked like to do marketing in a way that was profitable. And then not till recently, just in the last year and a half, of learning what it looks like to be profitable and loving to people.
So let's look at that experience of falling flat on your face, as you said. What was the story there?
Yeah, so I started a marketing agency in 2018. And I didn't land my own first client for 4 months. So perfect. I started a marketing agency to help people do their marketing and had no idea what I was doing. Couldn't market myself. So of course the imposter syndrome rose up, which honestly, as it should have, because I had no idea what I was doing. And so that was the falling flat on my face. I think from 2018 to 2019, it was the struggle of having good intentions, but not knowing practical frameworks for building a business sustainably. And then from 2020 to 2021 was having a profitable business, but not having the practical frameworks for what it looks like to love people in the way that I'm making profit and growing the business.
What pointed you in the direction of creating a marketing agency right out of the gates?
When I first graduated, I wanted to get this kind of internship underneath the wing of an entrepreneur who was local to where I was living. I was living and still do in Central Florida. And I emailed all these influencers that I knew in this city. And I went to all the networking events and stuff and didn't find anything for what I was looking for. And I think I realized at some point that it was just fear holding me back, the fear of failure. And I realized that this was the time of my life where there wasn't other people depending on me. I was living with three other roommates. Rent was $200 a month. You know, when we split it up between us, it was just very cheap life at that point, right out of college, being a broke college student, not having a family. And I was like, if I'm going to fall flat on my face, now is the time to do it. But beyond that, to your point, yeah, I mean, even from 12, 15 years old, instead of playing video games, I would stay up and start little side hustles and businesses and just do crazy ventures, allowing my imagination and creativity in the business processes and systems place just kind of take off. And most of my business ventures were complete failures. Nothing came of it, but I learned a lot as a kid, just investing a lot of time and energy in that space, which again, to your point, was probably inspired mostly by just seeing my dad do that.
Okay. The first business ends. You get involved in starting another business. You're cash flowing about $15,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And then you had this kind of moment where you shut that down. Explain what happened there.
Yeah. I think for me, what I had seen so much in the marketing industry was that you were successful when you hit six figures. And when I hit that, of course, the adrenaline rush of like, oh, yes, like I hit this milestone. I hit, like, this is what I was aiming for. And of course, adrenaline always wears off. Mm-hmm. And so I was left with, okay, now what? Like, what was the purpose of this? Like, what am I doing? And that was incredibly convicting, but also just an eye opener. And I think for me, like, it feels good for people to tell me how courageous that was to shut down my business and start over from zero. But I think it wasn't courage. It was honestly just the grace of God that He set up the world in such a way that money doesn't satisfy our souls. Because if money satisfied my soul in that moment, I think I would still be doing it. Like, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
I have to seize on that statement. God set up the world in such a way that money doesn't satisfy the soul. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And it's grace. It's grace that He's pointing us back to Him. Even my worst moments of just walking completely out of alignment. And there wasn't a single decision that I made of like, now I'm out of alignment. It was when you define your mission as making six figures, you align all of your decisions to that mission, whether you're aware of it or not. And so there's hundreds of micro decisions that you're making that 1% off today leads you on a trajectory where you're 180 degrees away from where you actually want to be, not where you say or think that you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was in that place of being where I said I wanted to be and realizing it wasn't actually where I needed to be or wanted to be.
So then you come to this realization and then you sell the company, or you shut it down, actually. You didn't even sell it.
Yeah, so I wanted to sell the company. I was like, okay, I'll make one last check off of this. And I got some offers for it. And I just never felt at peace with that. And I think ultimately it was just God telling me, like, I want you to destroy your idol and start over. So yeah, walked away from it.
Let's talk about how you personally seek the Lord and hear from Him. What does that look like for you, Jeremy, on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I love that question. It was something that I neglected for so long, and something that I have found to be incredibly helpful for me and the students that I work with is developing healthy rhythms. I think so much of success is just being faithful in the small things. And the small things are, to me, they're rhythms. They're things that I'm doing on a consistent basis, holistically, not just in my work, because of course my work is affected by the relationships that I have, the relationship that I have with my wife, my relationship with the Lord. You know, how am I, from a work standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, physical standpoint, spiritual standpoint, sustaining myself to make sure that I am staying on track with my mission and my life purpose. Overarching life purpose is to love God and love people. And my business mission is to help entrepreneurs grow profitable brands that love people. And that business mission goes underneath my umbrella of my life purpose. And so I have to make sure that I've put rhythms in place that keep me in alignment with those two things. And so some of the rhythms that I have are relational. It's spending an hour of undistracted time with my wife on a day-to-day basis. And I think right now when I say that to couples who are married and have kids, they're like, okay, well, wait just till you have kids. We don't have kids at this point. So in this season of life, that's what it looks like.
Sure.
I know that may have to adapt and change as we grow into different seasons of life. From a spiritual rhythm that I have, is what's really important for me is waking up and being in the Word before I go to my phone and check emails and Facebook. And when I was drifting from my mission, I would wake up, I would check my phone, I would see the latest praises and responses and emails and things like that. And it would easily just slip right into my work. And spending time alone with God became a, if I have time, rather than a priority. And so that's a rhythm that I have to have in my life to stay on track with my mission and my life purpose. Another one that I have is quarterly. I spend what I call solo day, which is where I take a Bible, a pen, a notebook, go into the woods, because that's where I really feel like I connect with God. And it's really just because there's not a whole lot of distractions out there, because I leave my phone in the car. But, and I just spend a half a day or a whole day just hearing from God. Like, where do you want me to go? And honestly, a lot of times it's just conviction of God pointing out the areas of my life that are out of alignment with what He's calling me to do. And that takes time. Like, it's not what we want to hear, because it's not a super attractive answer, but like, it takes time, spending time with God and spending time alone to really feel and understand where things are out of alignment, because the distracted mind is the mind that's not looking for things that are out of alignment. You're drifting and you're coasting. And so I think it takes intentionality, which is why rhythms are so important for me. It's the intentional doing the small things on a consistent basis.
You said earlier you're a systems thinker, and you have developed a very succinct system with your business to draw entrepreneurs through this process. There's five steps. Go ahead and share those five steps if you would, please, Jeremy.
Sure. The first step I call mission clarity, and it comes from understanding that we can't articulate our mission to other people unless we're extremely clear on it ourselves. And so the first step is clarity. What is my mission? How am I going to serve people? Who am I going to serve? That's kind of what my frameworks in this step cover. And it honestly starts with that introspection of understanding that if I can position my mission at the center, and I'm speaking as my business mission here, if I can position my business mission at the center of my life purpose, my knowledge and skill sets, and people I have compassion and empathy to serve, I have a Venn diagram with a circle for each of those. So one circle is life purpose, one is knowledge and skill sets, and one is people I have compassion, empathy to serve. If I can put my business mission at the center of those three things, so it's in alignment with loving God and loving people, which is my life purpose. It's in alignment with the skill sets, experience, knowledge that God has given me. You know, I think even my own journey, as I've been telling you my story, those are experiences, even in my unfaithfulness, that God is using right now to empower and motivate and teach other students who are experiencing the same painful problems I experienced in my own life. I'm leveraging that experience and those skill sets that I've developed along the way, mm-hmm. right? And then the third circle, that passion for that empathy and compassion for people. What I love working with purpose-driven entrepreneurs, especially Christian entrepreneurs, is 9 times out of 10, we're serving a group of people who are experiencing a problem that you yourself have experienced. And so there's a natural level of empathy because you know what it feels like. I'm coming from a place of, I'm on this journey with you. There is no leaderboard. There is no winning at loving people through business. It's a journey. And so I get to be a facilitator and host to help people along in their journey, even though they may only be a few steps behind, right? And even though I will never reach this milestone where I say, I have won, and it kind of goes back to the rhythms. That's how I define my successes. Am I successful today? It gives me an opportunity to be successful on a day-to-day basis. That's how big my mission is. But if my mission was make 6 figures, then I'm a failure until I hit that point. And when I hit that point, I realize that that's not actually what success is to me. So it's defining that mission is step one.
I'm going to stop here on that point and talk about story for a minute with you. This whole concept of being able to help people, love people well, and that you're a couple steps ahead of them, a lot of that is related to your personal journey and then helping people through the journey you may have just gone through a few months or a few years ago, right? And so what does that look like for you, Jeremy?
I love that you said we'll pause here. This is actually moving forward into my second step, which is redemptive content. Because after you have clarity on what your mission is, then you can start to articulate it. And the honest answer to that question is my mission comes from the pain that I experienced in my own life when I wanted to love people in my business, but didn't know how to be profitable. And when I was profitable, didn't know how to be loving. And that's a part of my story. And I think every story, if we want to experience grace and redemption in our lives, it starts with admitting that there's a problem. We can't experience God's grace unless we admit that there's a problem. And there's no redemption for overcoming, because that's what redemption is. It's overcoming problems. We can't overcome problems if we can't admit that there's a problem there to begin with.
Jamie Winship calls that truth telling. It's confession. We have to confess the truth as we know it for God to intervene and do something with that. Yeah, that's so strong. So we've got mission clarity, number one. We've got redemptive content, which I love. And you call it redemptive because it's content related to how the Lord helped you overcome a particular situation, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The second step, the other way that people start to believe truth is through their own personal experience. And so you can tell your story, and I think that's so powerful. I mean, Jesus spent a third of his teachings telling parables. It's how we interpret truth. But the second way is we understand through our own personal experience. So what does it look like to create experiences, create resources that give people a glimpse, that give people a taste of what that desired result in your mission statement looks like?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be the second half of redemptive content. You're helping them experience new experiences so that they can believe for themselves. And then you're also telling your own personal experience through story, which is so powerful, right? So that's redemptive content. So we can jump on to step three.
There's a point here on redemptive content about telling your own story. The beauty of telling your own story is you don't need to perform for anybody. It's real. It's who you are. It's what you've experienced. And you don't have to add anything to it.
Right.
That's what I love about this idea. Okay. The third part of your framework is?
The third part of my framework is relationships. It's community. Understanding that if we want to make sales in our business, if we want to impact people, relationships is the necessary step to do that. And so how do we systematically build relationships? I think community is so huge. And what I mean by community is not just you speaking to your audience and your audience speaking to you, but it's building a community where your audience can speak to your audience. Because when that happens, you're removing yourself from the center, you're moving your brand, your products and services from the center, and you become, like I was mentioning earlier, you become a host, you become a facilitator of, again, we're on this mission together, rallying around this mission that's at the center. And so this mission is so much bigger than just me.
It's so much bigger than just you, but we're participating in this together. And so building a community like that, who's united by the beliefs and the mission that you have, I love what Simon Sinek says. He says that people buy why you do what you do, not just what you do. And so when you unite people by your why, it's so much more fulfilling, profitable, sustainable. I mean, that is the best asset that you can have in your business is people who believe in your why. Because when the next competitor comes up and it's a cheaper product or service, they're going to stay with you because they believe in your why.
How does somebody transition from you as the leader of the company or owner speaking to the audience and them speaking to you to audience, as you describe, which I think is fantastic if you can get there? How do you do that?
I love the question. I think platforms, tools, tactics change all the time. The principle is always going to remain. I mean, even Christianity as a whole is united by the belief that Jesus is Lord. And so we gather weekly and engage in community united by that belief. Mm-hmm. So that principle is always going to remain. I think right now, tactically, the best option is a Facebook group, just because people already have Facebook profiles and people are already there. And so facilitating a community where people already are comfortable is what I have found to be the most helpful. And that is a place where people can interact with each other. So that's the one that I'm using right now. And then another relationship building system I use is just a regular CRM, where that's more for one-on-one communication. It's also a way to organize. By the way, CRM, for those of listening who aren't familiar with that, it's customer relationship management. It's basically a software that helps you organize and see where people are in their steps of the journey, right? Because people, different people in your audience can be at different places in their journey. Like we talked about, I might be a few steps ahead of people or might be several steps ahead of this person over here, right? And so it's identifying where people are in their steps of journey based on the actions that they're taking, based on the conversations that they're having with you. And so you can have kind of a snapshot and know what people need to take that next step. So those are the two relationship building systems I use.
So far, we've got mission clarity, redemptive content, building a community. Those 3 points. Number four is
sustainable sales. And what I have found for Christian entrepreneurs, purpose-driven entrepreneurs, is that the number one bottleneck for most people is they say, okay, I want to tell my story. I'm ready. I want to build resources that are helpful. I want to build this community. How do I even get in front of my audience in the first place? Like, I have something to say. I have my mission and my message now, but how do I even get in front of the people that I want to serve? And so this is kind of the step where we really break that down. And I think what most people are going to tell you to do, most people in the marketing industry, is they're going to tell you to run paid ads, which means you're starting with cold traffic and it takes several thousands of dollars to kind of build up that audience. And then the second one is the organic method. And most people, when they say organic method, it looks a lot like friending a bunch of people you don't know on Facebook and inviting them to your group. Maybe even building a second business profile that's separate from your personal profile because you know it's kind of out of alignment. You're using it for business. So, which by the way, I did that in my previous business. That was one of the decisions that I made. I was like, hey, if this is a profitable route, I'm going to try it. I'm going to throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. It doesn't work. But anyways, the third one, I believe that this is the most under-leveraged and underappreciated marketing channel in the world today. It's what I call mission partners. It goes back to the same principle we were talking about earlier. That if my mission is truly bigger than just me, it's necessarily going to include other businesses, other people, other places, other spaces, people who are aligned with my mission because they want to actually love people in their business. They want to love and serve the same audience that I'm serving. And so I think of you, Brian, offering this podcast as a place for me to come and share my story. I'm able to come onto a platform where you've already built a relationship with your audience who trust you and you're inviting me into this place. That is incredibly valuable to me to be invited. And it's an honor to me to be invited to speak on this podcast because there may be people in your audience, Brian, who know exactly what I'm talking about, who've experienced a story similar to mine, who are resonating with what I have to say, who might be a perfect fit for engaging in my mission with me, kind of joining this journey with me.
Yeah.
And I think when you are willing to, as you have, Brian, you are willing to set aside your own personal brand and opening up a space for other people to be a part of it. Other people might call them competitors, but you're looking at those people as strategic partnerships and saying, this is bigger than the both of us. And there's always a temptation to make it about ourselves. and to pretend like this mission belongs to just me and this audience is just mine. But the reality is your audience, the people you serve, have lives that are way bigger than just your products and services and way bigger than just your brand.
When we get beyond ourselves with respect to sustainable sales, by necessity, you said, it would require that we go outside of where we are and get partners, basically, people that support us. And I love that because it is necessary. You can't be an island unto yourself. Go ahead and walk us through, if you would, an example of somebody that you've worked with that perhaps was trying to create a course, something, and how they used this process to do that.
So one of my first one-on-one students, her name is Donna Nathan. She is an emotional health coach, and she provides a biblical Christian worldview around what it looks like to be emotionally healthy, especially as an entrepreneur. So we both serve Christian entrepreneurs. And she had seen some of my content, which kind of goes back to redemptive content. That's how I attracted her initially. She had seen some of my content and we started having a conversation. We jumped on a Zoom call. I touch on emotional intelligence, emotional health a little bit in my rhythm sections. Remember, we're talking about rhythms. And she touches on having the confidence in the relationships that you need to sustain a business. And so we saw a clear synergy there. I think that's really some of the hardest parts is just being willing to see that, hey, you serve this audience, I serve this audience, you bring something else to the table. Like you're bringing your own skill sets and the gifts that God has given you to the table, and you do this better than I do, even though I can touch on it a little bit and vice versa. And so we had that Zoom call and she invited me to come do a training in her Facebook group with her audience. So I did the training in there and I had one of her students join my program. And so we built this partnership where I gave her 15% of that sale, that person who became a customer. And then we did the same thing in my group. So I brought her in and I said, hey guys, this lines up really well with what I have to say about emotional health, but I am not an emotional health expert. I just know that it's necessary for being a Christian entrepreneur and running a sustainable business. And so here's what she has to say about that. And we did the exact same thing. And other people in my audience came in and joined her. Mm-hmm. And so that would be an example of kind of a two-way partnership. And I don't think it has to be like this equal thing where you come do a training or I'll come do an interview and we exchange back and forth. It's just laying down the brand and saying, everybody brings something different to the table. What's the best way for us to work together? And I think there's 1,000 different ways to do it. The most important way to do it is to see other people who are serving your audience and just being willing to go on a Zoom call and say, hey, how can we serve this audience together? And I think it's always worth it if at the end of the call, you can say, this is beneficial for me, this is beneficial for you, and ultimately, this is beneficial for the end audience. And if it is, we build that partnership every time.
It also takes a certain level of faith and trust that God is going to, in his sovereign capability, make this work for both of you. Just trust him. Take the step. So, okay, we've got 4 steps now we've talked about. What's the final step in your framework?
Yeah, so the sales, and then after that is the leadership, which is what we were touching on in just a few seconds ago. And it's understanding that if I want to run this business for the next 40 years, it's going to take consistent alignment and realignment. Because again, I'm not perfect. And so I haven't won at loving people through business. It's a day by day thing. And so I have to put healthy rhythms in place for myself because I can't lead my business if I'm not leading myself first. And so what does it look like for me to put healthy rhythms in place? And so I gave you some of those examples earlier, but I have a table in my workbook that I have my students go through. I do it myself. And it's just, what do I need from a work standpoint to stay true to my mission and my life purpose? What do I need from an emotional standpoint? Like, for example, one of the things that I do is I used to, when I was burnt out, I would stare at my computer screen and just dare myself to work because I felt like I couldn't take a break because my wife was working. Everybody around the world was working a 9-to-5. Who am I to take a break at 3 o'clock in the afternoon just because I'm kind of emotionally burnt out? What I realized was that just stepping away and going and playing basketball for 10 minutes, because that's kind of my reset emotional thing that I do, gives me so much more life and energy to continue on in my day. And so I'm not doing anyone any favors by burning out emotionally. And so what are the things that gives me life, that kind of fills my tank again? So I have a list of those things, right, that I can go to. And the same thing spiritually, right? The same thing relationally. One of the things, my best friend moved from Florida to Colorado, and I told him, I was like, hey, in order for us to sustain this relationship, let's build a rhythm together. So every other week on Thursday at 6 o'clock, we call each other and we just have 45 minute, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes hour and a half call, just catching up and encouraging each other and praying for each other. And that's a rhythm that is really life-giving to me. And it helps me stay true to my mission of loving God and loving people. And it helps me remain sustainable so that I can continue this mission and continue this business long-term.
So the leadership piece is really leading yourself appropriately.
It starts with that. And then it necessarily flows into leading your team. And I think it's at some point in every entrepreneur's journey, you reach a point where you've extended beyond your own personal capacity. And so we have a delegation assessment where I love Venn diagrams.
Never would have guessed.
What are the weaknesses that I have? What are the funds that I have available? And what do I not enjoy doing? And we, at the center of those things, if I have the funds to do it, I don't enjoy it, and this is not something that I should be doing in my role, then we outsource that. But the really cool thing is when you've gone through all five of these steps, you already have the systems and processes in place to bring someone into alignment with what you're already doing. Rather than going and hiring other people from a lot of different places, a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different values, and asking them to just outsource and take over it, you're bringing people and bringing them onto a culture that exists because you're clear on what the core beliefs you have, on the values that you have, and the mission that you have. And so that's a really cool thing when you're able to do that and then empower those people to also live in alignment with their life purpose. And every person is going to have different rhythms, but you have a system, you have a framework that you can give to them to empower them, say, hey, what would it look like for you from a relational standpoint? And how can we position our business to be an instrument, a place where you can still, from a relational, emotional, physical, and spiritual place, sustain yourself and your family? And how can we encourage you in that? And I think one of the things as leaders, I'll just give one example. I think if you're a leader and you have influence over people who are working for your business, it's your responsibility to make sure that you are empowering and almost even holding them accountable to taking a Sabbath, not assigning any work, not giving any due dates on one day of the week where they can rest. And I think that's so essential, something that I didn't do for so long until we started going to this church that we're going to. And that's really taught us how important Sabbath is for us. And, you know, man is not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man. It's really a place where we can reset and stay true to our mission long term. And that's what leadership is all about.
You know, ultimately, as I hear you go through these points, I'm going to reiterate them. Number one is mission clarity. Two is redemptive content, building that content. Three is building a community. Four is sustainable sales. And fifth, leadership. The whole thing, in my view, that ties this together from the beginning and throughout is your story.
Yep.
How can people find out more about you, Jeremy?
The most helpful thing that I have for people is my website right now. It's apurposebeyondprofit.com. And it has the model that you were talking about and a couple free resources for people to get that experience that we're talking about in redemptive content. I'm following my own frameworks here. But there's some things that will be helpful to Christian entrepreneurs who are wanting to start putting things in alignment. I would say that's probably the number one place. And then, of course, you could email me personally if you had a question or thought from this episode. My email is info@apurposebeyondprofit.com.
Perfect. As we finish here, we'd love to have you pray for our listeners, please.
I would love to. Dear God, I thank you for Brian. I thank you for just the humility of even allowing me to come and speak on his podcast. Thank you for all the faith stories of the work that you're doing in our lives and how we're just a small little piece, a small little mosaic of your grander story that's happening that sometimes we understand and sometimes we don't. But Lord, give us the faith and the obedience to do the things, the small things that you're calling us to. And we submit the results and the goals that we have and we lay them at your feet. Lord, I pray for everyone listening that they would have that kind of courage and that kind of grace from you to just submit this idea of whatever building a business should look like, and that we would just be faithful in the small things of aligning our life and our business to you. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for redemption, of you sending your son to die on a cross to live a perfect life that we could never live, and to offering that freely as a gift. Lord, help us to receive that gift and to love you more and more every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Jeremy, thank you. So enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you subscribe to the show and share this with someone you believe would be encouraged and motivated by these stories. Until next time, I'm Brian Robinson reminding you that the greatest decision you could ever make is to ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life. If you haven't done that, read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Thanks again for listening.